Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Isn't it great to be alive in Christ? Isn't it great to be part of the kingdom of God? Isn't it great to have brothers and sisters right across planet Earth that love Jesus like you do? Amen? Amen. Greater is he that is living in me than he that is in the world. He's living in me. Is he living in you? Is he just there on a vacation, or is he actually living in the, he's living? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm so pleased that we're in church today. Didn't have to tackle the triathlon. I had an excuse not to again this year. What's your excuse, Steve? You were there. That's why you were late. You wanted to... Oh, you finished? Oh, wow. Looking forward to seeing the photo in the paper. Local Christian sets new record. So we could get to church. Absolutely. Good one. Hallelujah. Well, church is exciting. It really is. And the more I hear about what God's doing in and through his church across planet Earth, the more I know that Jesus is getting ready to come back. Amen? These are good days to be alive in Christ. Not so good if you're not alive in Christ. But we're in Christ today, and it's good to be alive in Christ and have Christ alive in us. Because I believe with all my heart that Jesus is getting ready to come back. I believe we're in times where we need to be bold in the Holy Spirit, bold in our belief, bold in the words we speak, and bold in the life we're living within our community, outside the door. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. I want to continue my message that I started last week about holiness, what it means to be holy, what it means to live in holiness, those sort of things. And tonight I want to just begin a series, and I believe it's the heart of God for this house, and I've just entitled tonight, I Still Believe in Miracles. I just really believe God's laying some things on my heart for this house. It's very visionary, it's very prophetic in the way that God's been downloading some stuff into my life, and I believe tonight is a good chance to start that off at 5:30 tonight. You know, I don't know what miracle you would believe in. If someone had said to you, if God made a miracle available to you, Rosemary, what would that be? And likewise across this room, what would that miracle look like? Would it be money in the bank? Would it be a healthy body? Would it be restoring of relationships? Would it be, you know, a business you're believing for or work that you've been looking for? I don't know, but if we believe in miracles and we believe in the God who works miracles, the Bible promises nothing is impossible. No thing is impossible for him who believes. Well, you can believe a lot of stuff these days, but if you don't believe in God, the impossible will not happen. It might appear to happen, it might last for a season, but God's the God of eternity. So tonight, I'm just going to start prophetically, visionarily, speak into the heart of this church about what I believe in and what God's going to do in this place. You know, as I quite often say, if you could see what I can see for this place, you'd be jumping up and down as well. I believe God's got a great, great plan. So tonight at 5:30 with communion. Amen? Amen. Dennis, would you like to come up and share what's happening in your life? Pretty dull and boring now you're retired and not.
Quite a number of things, actually. And as Pastor Lou was just saying, life is really exciting at this time. And I said to, I think Trudy, as I came in, I looked out the window this morning and we look over the bay and it was all fog and mist and we could barely see the island. And I thought, yep, another day at Victor. And I thought, the thought came to me from C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, that it's always winter in Narnia and never spring, but Aslan is on the move. And that's sort of been running around my head all the morning. And you know, with the recent elections in America, and people are speculating about Donald Trump, and the prophecy came to mind about the Pope, the current Pope being the last Pope, and the tie-up between what we believe, and some people believe, that there will be between the Antichrist and the Pope. And that's on the international sort of front. At home, in the things that we're involved in, the prison ministry, prison fellowship are re-establishing in South Australia, and they're starting a new ministry in Northern Territory, and that's going to be there's going to be a joint launch early in the new year in Adelaide for both the New South Australian ministry and the Northern Territory ministry that's being established. And so there's exciting things happening there, and new programs are going to be established in the prisons. And there's just been a government launch of a new initiative through correctional services to reduce the number of prisoners by 2020, because the numbers are almost at capacity as we are with the prison system, and the prediction is for a significant increase. And so they're trying to look at strategies to reduce those numbers, and we're praying that through Christian programs coming into the prisons, that correctional services will see that as a positive move to the service providers that look after the prisons, as part of a rehabilitation program, and that will be seen as a very positive thing. So please remember that in your prayers, that Christian programs that have taken into prison through a number of organisations, Prison Fellowship and OARS and Kairos, any of those, will be seen as a positive move for prisoner rehabilitation by the administration of the prison system. And so there's also a newsletter that's just come out, the most recent one, and there's some on the back table if you'd like to take one if you're interested. So we'll keep in touch with the new developments with Prison Fellowship as they come to hand. We're doing a new brochure for that. There's going to be a prayer meeting in Adelaide, and it probably won't be convenient for people here, but there's going to be that meeting, I think, later this month. And I was thinking, I can't remember the exact date, but I'm thinking it's going to be the same night as our prayer meeting for the church. But anyway, we can pray about it here. So they're exciting things with the prison ministry. And then there's the men's shed night coming up, this coming Thursday night. We've got the invitations that we'll give out. And we've done a new brochure as well, in just a trifold brochure, outlining the vision and the objectives of the men's ministry through the shed night program that we're developing. And we're believing for God to bring in men from the community in that, and to that to be a real doorway into the community, as men see a relevance and something that can be beneficial in their own lives, and to through that to bring new families into the church. So that's something else to pray about. And we're believing that God is going to really restore men through this ministry, because God was showing me that so many men need the affirmation of a father that they haven't received in their own lives as children. And that's so important, because as men we can't function unless we have that affirmation, and we suffer from the acute effects of rejection and all the symptoms that that brings if we don't receive that affirmation in our lives. And so that's really important, and I can see that through this ministry that God will give a father's affirmation as our Heavenly Father to men that feel a need in that area, and I think most of us do. And so exciting things. There's great potential in the men's ministry, and we're just believing God for that. So please come, for the guys, just please come to that, and bring someone. If you know someone in the community that's not a Christian, bring them along, because it's a strong word. We've got we're doing some series from Joshua Ees from America, and it's a very relevant word about the value and worth of a man. And so that's exciting. And as well, on a sort of body of Christ outlook, there's a renewal going through the Lutheran Church that's really exciting. And particularly considering the fact that Lutheran churches have so many schools, and they do deliver a Christian teaching program to the schools, to the kids there. And a lot of country communities just have a Lutheran church, and that's really alive to any degree. And so there's a great potential in the Lutheran Church, and that renewal that's coming through, and particularly driven from the Holy Spirit, and their interest in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work, is really exciting to see God bringing renewal to country communities. And so that's another thing to pray about, renewal through the Lutheran Church and bringing life back into our communities, in both country and locally. So praise God. God is doing amazing things and exciting things. And if we just look outside our own lives and to what God is doing, it's really exciting, because we can be very much just a spectator in life, or we can be vitally involved, in particularly in what God is doing. And the word that is coming to me over and over, particularly to the men, is step up, step up. And that's what God is saying. And so just God bless you in that, and so to keep those things in mind. Praise God. Thank you.
Well shared. So guys, great opportunity to bring a mate, to bring a work friend or a son or a son-in-law.
Thank you. Well done.
But we do need to know names. So Dennis has got the checklist there. Please approach Dennis after church and let him know you're coming or not. That would be great if we can know numbers that are coming or not. Rather than Dennis have to do the little chase you up, why don't we chase him up? Let's have a big line of guys after church. The women will be saying, whoa, I've never seen guys do that. But please honour the fact that we need to know, for catering purposes, how many are coming and how many are not, by letting Dennis know that after church this morning. Who's got a copy of Bill Johnson's book, Your Key to Unlocking the Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind? Great book, great study. Both Connect groups, Tuesday and Thursday group, are both doing this study, courtesy of research that Rosemary Gordon did and powerful teaching. And again, it's about access to a life of miracles. So if you're not part of Connect groups, it's never too late to join. Never too late to say, hey, Tuesday night, it's only 20 past 7. I think I'll go around to Pastor Lou and Robin's place, catch up on a bit of what they're talking about through this book of Bill Johnson. And likewise for the Thursday group. Where are you meeting this week? Goola. Cross that line again. Trespassers will be blessed. Absolutely. So over at the Lyle household this Thursday at 10 a.m. Tuesday night at our home, 7:30 p.m. If you haven't got a book, would like a book, we've still got a couple of spare copies and a study guide as well. But please avail yourselves to Connect groups. You know, Sunday church is great, but there's a lot of time between Sunday and Saturday night. I like to be filled with the Word of God. I like the fellowship with other Christians. If you want to be part of Connect groups, they're always lots of fun. Amen? Amen. Deep and fun together. It's true. I want to just encourage you all, as far as Because We Care ministry goes. We've given out quite a few food parcels since we began earlier this year. And Myrna did a bit of a costing the other day. You realise that to put out a single gift pack of food, the value that we put in that is about $90 worth of food for a single person. Probably last them a week if they are wise with it. That's including fresh meat, eggs sometimes, butter, bread, all sorts of condiments to be able to make up meals and those sort of things. The family box really surprised me, $190 of value. And we give these out, it's almost weekly, isn't it, Michaela? You know, Michaela was in on Tuesday, she did an audit, did a, you know, tidy up with the shelves and the freezer and everything else. Tuesday afternoon, we gave away a family box because a family had been referred to us who were in need, genuine need, and so we were able to help them out with a parcel. We have given away, up until 3 weeks ago, $2,640 worth of food. That's not bad, is it, for a little church? And I'm looking up the back and I see the basket's full again. But can I just say this? When we give out, we've got to get in. We can't keep giving out unless there's money coming in or food coming in. So we've got a bit of a list going for needs. Carrots, beans, green ones. We've got enough baked beans. We've got enough three bean mix. Soybeans, no, they're not green. And you can leave them out too long. Peas, coffee, pasta sauces, jelly. Myrna's got in here Christmas stuff, mince pies, not sure. Fruitcake, not sure in this day and age. Custard and puddings for desserts, just general instant type puddings, stuff you can heat up. So we'll put this up as a PowerPoint over the next couple of weeks, but basically we're looking for veggies, tinned veggies, coffee, sauces that you can add meats to, and just some dessert type stuff. Jelly was an interesting one, because that's an easy dessert, isn't it? I don't know what a packet of jelly costs these days. It used to be at 50 cents, 30 cents, do I need 60, do I need 70? But, you know, again, you can bring frozen veggies. We do have freezer space right now. Yes, that's a good way to do it as well. And somebody's brought in some of those pre-made frozen dinners. Again, a single person doing it a bit tough, we can help them out. But church, well done! You know, for the smallness that we are, just amazing what God can do. I've been invited to speak at Rosetta Community Group. The craft group, sorry, in about 3 weeks' time. They want to make a donation towards what we do. They heard about the work that the Christian Gospel Centre does, and they want to make a donation. So they want me to come along and give a bit of a talk about what the community work we do, and they want to make a little donation towards what we do. So praise God. And we're doing good work, and I was talking to someone from the Lutheran School the other day, and they said, have you seen any new customers come in on Wednesday morning for bread? I said, well, I'm not often around on a Wednesday morning to look. Why? She said, I keep sending people to you that are doing things a bit tough. So the word's out there, Christian Gospel Centre, which again is that heart of God coming through over this place. There is such an anointing over this house for its future. We are not meant to close down and die. We've been placed here, you know, on purpose, feed a community that not just physical food but spiritual food, and see the kingdom come. Amen? Amen. On that note, tomorrow morning around 10 o'clock, I'm not going to be sexist here, but anyone who's got a little bit of muscle, and I emphasize just a little bit because you don't need a real lot, we have some furniture to move. Steve, Tony, you've done your share. You can come and supervise. As many of you would know that I was the chairman of the South Coast Christian Community Care, and part of our role is we had a furniture shed over at Port Elliot where we stored furniture in going and outgoing. Well, the owner of the shed wanted the shed back about 3 weeks ago, and because South Coast Christian Community Care are no longer supplying furniture to those in need, I opened my generous mouth and said, if you're stuck, we'll help you empty out the shed. He said, yes. So over the course of a few days last week, we brought everything out of the shed across here to the Gospel Centre. If any of you have been downstairs over the last few days, there's a beautiful array of used furniture, bedding, couches, lounge chairs. We need to get rid of it. So what we're doing tomorrow evening, we're having a twilight clearance giveaway. Mark's excited. I saw that excitement. Woo! So So I can see you here at 10 o'clock. You're going to have first rummage. You've got to work an hour to get first rummage. We need to get all the stuff out, farm clearance style, out on the lawns tomorrow morning. That's the next part of the story. All right? Because at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I believe we're going to have a lot of people come in for a rummage. We would like as much stuff to go for free as possible. We know there's possibly going to be some stuff left over afterwards. That's part of it. But if you've got some free time tomorrow around 10 o'clock, you just come down and help us shift just the gear from under the veranda out across the lawns with no rain, so that at 4 o'clock when the twilight giveaway thingy starts, people will come and collect goods and chattels. Trailer loads, truck loads, I don't care how it goes, it's got to go. So please, if you're free tomorrow morning, that would be great to give us a hand. And everyone said, yes, amen. The wives nudged their husbands and said, get down there, you can do it. The husband said, I'll go if you come with me. A lot of it's not heavy, it just needs a lot of manpower. Get it done. Get it ready. Amen? Amen. Well, I've got two amens for that. Hallelujah. Well, let's take up the tithes and offerings. Let's give to the Lord because He's always giving to us. Amen? Amazing God. Just, we are blessed in this place. My office was used by the Victor Harbour High School principal for senior staff appointments on Wednesday this week. And one of the review panel was one of the principals from Brighton High School in Adelaide. And as Amanda brought this gentleman in for the review panel, he said, how come you get to use such a good office? Now, mind you, Amanda is not a church lover. She's not a God follower in any way. She just smiled, looked at me, and she said, because I'm blessed. And they've got four appointments booked to use my office and the outer office for senior staff appointments between now and the close of term. I just love it that the community can come to the church and say, we have a need, can you help us? And most of the time, if it lines up with our ethos and what we believe in, we'll help them. And we don't charge them. We just say, yep, use our space. And I know the blessing comes back because of the goodness of our God. Amen? And it does. Again and again and again. Well, we're going to pray over these tithes and offerings. I love to give to God because He gives so much to us. Thank you, Lord. Where do we begin, Father? How big can our thanks be for what you've done in our lives, what you're currently doing, and what you're about to unfold? Lord, I love the fact that we are kingdom builders. Lord, we are part of those rocks that build your church. And Jesus, you are the cornerstone. You talk about living stones. That's who we are. Lord, you give us so, so much. You enable us. You equip us. You provide for us. Lord, all you ask is a tithe if we're led to bring an offering to your house. Build your kingdom. Lord, this house has been known as a giving house. We are great sowers. We believe in the power of sowing and in reaping. And that's why today, Lord God, this church is debt-free. That's why there's no mortgage over this property. That's why, Lord, we operate in the black and not the red this year. Because, Lord, you are so good in the realm of finances. You give us wisdom. You give us insight. You show us as a church how to apply the principle of sowing and reaping. So, Lord, today, Lord, as we bring this money, these finances, into the kingdom, Lord, we're not mindful of just ourselves. We're mindful of others. But, Lord, a sower sows in order to reap. But he also sows in order to feed and supply for others and himself. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the gracious God that you are, the giving God, that you've shown us a way how to give, how to build, how to see a kingdom come. Lord, I declare a blessing. I declare supernatural favor over your church today, over your people, Lord God. I say, give with a glad attitude. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Trudy, would you like to come forward and lead us in a time of worship before we come around the word this morning? Thank God that His Word can be made alive in us. Thanks, Joe. When you're ready, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this subject matter, holiness. And I love the way the Word of God works in our lives. I love the challenges that life brings. Sometimes we don't think we're excited about those things when we're right in the midst of it. But looking back, how many people know that when you look back, sometimes you go, thank you, Jesus, that you were there. You know, where would you be if it weren't for Christ in your life? Where would you be today? Don't know. You know, it's really interesting in this extracurricular ministry that God's got me in, doing funeral services regularly. Last Sunday afternoon, I had to go down to Karakalinga to arrange a funeral service for a gentleman who passed away. Lovely lady. I'd spoken to her two or three times on the phone and went down to make final arrangements. As I walked in the door, she said, "Now remember, no religion." They were opening words. Great. That's all right. I'm employed as a non-religious celebrant for that occasion. That's fine. And before I sat down, she said, "And I'm going to tell you why." Lovely lady. So her voice on the phone sounded so sweet. I can just picture this little angelic lady. And she said, "You know, my husband was a Christian. He was a born-again believer. And when his father passed away, he went to his local pastor. He said, would you do my dad's funeral service for him?" The pastor said, "No, I won't. Because your dad never attended our church." And the son said, "But we've all as a family attended your church, mum and my brothers and sisters, you know, there's a fair few kids in the family." The minister said, "No." He said, "I can't do a service for a person who's never a member of this church." So this guy walked literally away from church and away from God. He was away from God for about 40 years, just with bitterness and hatred because the church had not accepted him. So I just smiled, sweat, and he said, "Well, I understand that." I said, "The church can harm people. We're good at shooting our wounded. But I said, God still loves you, and God still, I don't want religion," she goes. Okay. Smiled, sweat, and moved on. She said, "Now for the songs for the funeral. We're not sure about everything yet, but can we have Amazing Grace by Elvis Presley as the opening song? And during the floral tributes, there's this song by Slim Dusty called The Traveller's Prayer. I don't know whether you've ever heard that, but it talks about putting your life in the hands of God and da da da." And he was a great, I hate to say this, Chris, country and western lover. Evil man. Just kidding. Johnny Cash, Peace in the Valley. And again, not talking about the valley in the natural, but about peace in the valley, knowing God. But I don't want religion. And I really just believe that God has got me in the midst of that ministry to bring hope and life to those who are saying goodbye to a loved one. Again, on Friday, I had to do another service for a man who was really anti-church. Really, really. I'd met him while he was still alive. So there was no religion whatsoever. They did not want the service here because this was a church. This man was likely to get out of his coffin and really, that'd be good. But what really blessed me at the close of that service over at Goolwa on Friday, one of the gentlemen came up to me and says, "I know you're a holy man." A holy man. He said, "I know you're religious." I said, "I'm not religious. God's letting you." He said, "I want to thank you for the way you honoured this man's life, this mate of mine's life." He said, "You didn't bring religion into it. I know you, and I know the work you do. But thank you for what you do." Now, those words holy, as I'm preparing a message on holiness, ring in my spirit to say, oh, how I wish I'd arrived at that pure holiness that God's leading me to. But it's a journey, and we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, you shouldn't have to look it up. Because it says, if any man, come on, say it with me, if any man be in Christ. Oh, no, 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 no. Lips are not moving. I'm going to go to this section. I'm going to watch every set of lips.
blah, 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 blah. Righto, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, behold, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. The new has come. Thank you for that affirmation. Middle block, you ready? See if you can outdo those squibs over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, behold, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away. The new is come. That was pretty good. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, behold, he's a new creation. Things are passed away, the new is come, or has come. Well done. There's something shifts when you come to Christ. Actually, in most cases, there's a lot that shifts. But one of the things I think we lack is this relevance to holiness. We come to church, our little wings come out, our little halos just light up, and we're so good. We're so holy, we're so righteous, we're so, just what God wants me to be. Sometimes we step out that door and it changes. That's all it takes sometimes. We're barely to our car, we've barely got our hand on the handle, and something shifts. And I really believe that God's calling us as a church to a place of holiness. A reverential fear of God, if you like. A place where, as we've sung this morning, nothing else matters for me to live is Christ. Amen? And it's a huge challenge to get an ocean, to get an understanding, to get a revelation of what holiness means. I'm not talking about religion and holiness. I'm not talking about getting your monk's robes on and putting your hood over and going around with your little rosary beads all day long. I'm talking to Jesus type of person who goes about doing good, the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus grew in favor with God and with man. He didn't do that by being a religious man. He did that by honoring his Father and walking in that holiness and that anointing that the Father had placed upon him. So this morning I just want to, if we can, just continue on that. Are we right there, Jay? We're missing a slide or three. Worked earlier. You know, there's some concepts in the Bible that we tend to push aside because it's either too hard or I'm not ready for it, or, you know, it's not what God's calling me in. But holiness doesn't fit into that category, I'm sorry. Amen? There we go. But based on last week's scripture, holiness in Christ, Romans 6 verses 6 to 7, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. Do we really know that? One of us does. So that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. I like the words, the terminology that the great apostle Paul uses. For we know. It's like a good school teacher. The school teacher knows, but he wants the students that are following to know what he knows or what she knows. Amen? That's what good school teachers do, don't they? They teach. And Paul writes this, it's not tongue-in-cheek, but it's an encouraging insight into, say, if you don't know this, get to know this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. Was anyone there on the day? You were, whether you realize it or not. God had you on his mind when he allowed those nails to go into Jesus' hands. You were crucified with him. You may not have accepted Jesus until recently as your Lord and Saviour. But I like the outcome of this scripture. So that the body of sin might be done away with. That's what we're going to do with the furniture tomorrow. It's going to be done away with. Anyone's got a spare litre of petrol afterwards? I love this pause. I love the use of language here. We were crucified with him so that, or in order that, or as an outcome of, the body of sin might be done away with, comma, pause, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That's interesting terminology, isn't it? When you were living that life, you probably didn't feel like a slave to sin. That was a good life. Partying, drinking, carrying on. You may have been a good person. There may have been nothing really heavy as far as sin goes in your life, but when you weren't in a relationship with God, your separation from him was for eternity until you made that decision to come to him. So that we would no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. I was reading this scripture the other day. It comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Ever heard it? It says, if anyone be in Christ, behold, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. It's done away with. The old's dead as far as the word of God's concerned. How many of us know that it tries to rise itself up to life again sometimes? The battle is to keep it dead. Dead because you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour. I love this quote by J.C. Ryle on holiness. The worst chains are those which are neither felt nor seen by the prisoner. But I lived a good life, Pastor. I never did anyone any harm. You know, I gave to the poor. I joined community groups. I didn't beat my wife and I was kind to my children. But there were anchor chains on which are called sin that separated us from God. The Bible says, for all have sinned, all have sinned, and fall short of the glory of God. You know what that's like, to fall short of something? I was watching the Grandies play rabbit shoot on my iPad the other day. You've got to shoot arrows over things and around things. And the arrows were falling short, you know. Expect it to go all the way over to that speaker and you pull back and it goes boom. And sin causes us to fall short of the glory that God's got in store for us. You know what the glory of God in store for you looks like? Have you experienced the taste, vision, sound of what the glory of God working in your life is like? How many have never experienced that? Quite honestly, never experienced that? You're too shy to admit it. All right, I'll go the other way. Who's experienced that? What it's like? Well, the rest of you haven't then. Who hasn't experienced what it is to experience the glory of God in their life? All those who didn't put their hands up should now put their hands up. Am I right? All those who put their hand up, you get a reward afterwards. Those who are too lazy or too tired or rebellious, stay in after class. No. But all have sinned. You and I were in that class, the class of sinners. We fell short of what the glory of God for our lives would look like, feel like, the experience. Who cares? As sinners, we didn't, did we? Let's be honest here this morning. We were living life and we didn't need Jesus. We didn't need God. We just did life. But then you had a one day, like I had a one day. Now you realize that what you were living and what you called life wasn't the John 10:10b sort of life. In abundance to the full till it overflows. Yeah? And so you made a decision, Jesus, come into my life. I want to change that song this morning. Talk about coming into my heart. He doesn't come into your heart, he comes into your life. He doesn't want your heart, he wants your life. Technicality, I know. We made that decision, Jesus, come into my life. Change me. Jesus, yeah, that's what I died for, to change you. So we come out of being sinners and we come into being saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we sit and wait. Don't we? Love you, Jesus. When are you coming back to me? I never read that in the Bible. Follow the Jesus example. Going around doing good, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, preaching good news. You know what it's like to preach good news? Start off with a smile. That's preaching good news. What are you so happy about? I'm a blessed man. Why are you always smiling? Why do you always seem to be happy? Because I love God. God's in my life. I'm changed. Preaching good news. It's not. Hear ye, hear ye. Here we are in Ocean Street, Victor Harbour. Cometh ye forward now and receiveth the word of the Lord. All you sinners, come now. There was a group like that, wasn't there? That's not preaching good news, that's preaching religion. You follow the model of Jesus. Read your Gospels. Jesus goes around and on his journey he's doing good. He's sharing the kingdom. He's sharing the goodness of his Father. He's sharing the greatness of his Father. And people are attracted to Jesus. And he leads them to the Father. Now we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ have been prisoners like this, chains neither felt nor seen. Then we come to Christ, we get funny little scriptures like this. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in some of the things you do. Oh, that's a wrong interpretation. That's for the pastor and the elders. You take that line out. Line through there and put in some of the things, because you're only followers of Jesus. So be holy, what? All that you do. I don't know how that resounds in your spirit this morning, but if it's resounding in your spirit like it's been resounding in my spirit over the last few weeks, I don't like that last line. Like a speed sign that says 60. You've got to do 60. Then it shifts to slow down, workman ahead, 25. And I just want to go through at 100. It's what the Word of God's like sometimes. I don't want to do that. Be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because the pastor is holy. God's holy. Your Savior, your King, your Lord, my Lord is holy. Challenging, isn't it? You want a fluffy message this morning? You'll have to find a different church, I'm sorry. Start to look at these 7 points of what holiness is and what it isn't. Holiness is consecration. Consecration is to be separated. Separated to do something that others aren't doing. no good being separated. You're still doing things the way you always did them. Separated unto the Lord. Imagine stepping into his throne room of grace right now. He says, what are you doing here? Oh, I just thought I'd come and have a few beers. Father? Just thought I'd hang around with you and talk about the cricket. Now, sometimes that's the way we treat God, like he's just our dad. He's our Heavenly Father. He's holy. He loves to hear our story, but he wants to transform us from the inside out. Amen? Holiness is complete reality. You've been transformed by the love of God coming into your life through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It's too deep this morning. Foundational. Really down to rock bottom stuff. The reality is that you're dead to the things of this world. That's the reality. Sometimes you and I don't live like that. Sometimes, as we've said before, there's three chairs and we're drawn between one, two and three. Should be sitting in higher places in Christ. Bless you. But sometimes we're drawn back by old ways of thinking, old ways of handling stuff. Did we get to point three last week? Holiness is a continual process. We only got to two, I thought that. Didn't look at my notes and mark them. So let's open our Bibles this morning into Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. Love that racy font that I've put on there. It's like, did you add that effect for me, Jay? Is that what you did on the computer? It doesn't look so prominent there, but up here and over there you've got these shadows behind. Anyway. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6. But God. I love the but gods in my Bible. I love the but gods in my life. But God, so rich in is he in his mercy, because of, and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, or slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, and was delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he called us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. It's a process. Some days you feel holy, sometimes you know you're not. But the thing about coming to Christ, it's this journey. Can you picture the disciples going along on a daily basis with Jesus, the Messiah? Hearing the bad words thrown at him. Hearing the ridicule thrown at him. Hear the blasphemy to him. The challenges. And then he goes and heals a blind man. Then he heals 10 lepers. Then he goes and says, I'm hungry, let's find somewhere to eat. I'm going to wait here by the well. You guys go and arrange the accommodation. Catch up with you later. You see, the process that they went through is the same process we do on our journey with Christ. We're not with him in the flesh, but he's in us by his Spirit. And your day-to-day journey is no different to those 12 disciples when they followed Jesus. He has promised he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're never without him. And yet, as believers, is our behavior honoring to God? I do community work. I understand faith in God. I understand what it means to be a believer. To me, a believer means you follow Jesus and his ways. Amen? Jesus was holy because his Father called him to be holy. And now in this time, in this age, 2016, for us to be holy means it's a journey. In this filthy world, in the stuff that you and I have got to put up with in our lives, what does that look like in our response to what the world is not just dishing out to us, it's actually bombarding us, if I can use those words. It's not like going to a fancy restaurant where you get this morsel and they say that's the main course. Try this, Pastor Robin, it won't really hurt you. No, it's like, try this, Pastor Robin, it won't hurt you. You live a life like that. She's the pastor's wife. It's it easy, she's covered. But all of us, with this bombardment of stuff coming into our lives, how do we respond to that in 2016 and beyond? Let me encourage you today, it is a process. Amen? Colossians 3. Just down, be good. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3. Reading from the Message. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Blunt, isn't it? If you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. You know, I often think of that scripture about a lamp hidden under a bushel. You know, what good's a lamp? What good's a light if you hide the light? This church should be like that city on a hill. Your life, my life, should be like that city on a hill. Paul says here to the church in Colossus, live differently. That's what he's saying. Live differently. Don't focus on the things of this world. It only leads to sin and death after all, doesn't it? Instead, focus on the things of Christ. Famous quotation, if you shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If your life's aimless, you'll arrive. You'll achieve. But now that you're in Christ, what does that look like? Make Christ our goal and pursue righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It says this in the NIV. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You see, holiness is progressive. It's a process of growth. And it's a process of development. We all start at the same place. We were once sinners, but we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's this thing about turning from our sin and following Jesus called repentance. We turn from our sin and we follow Jesus. What's the good of just turning? I don't want to live that life anymore. Follow Jesus. Amen? And as you follow Jesus, you grow and you develop as you get closer to Him and learn more about Him. But let's look at this next point, that holiness is a choice. Holiness is a choice. 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. As what children? Rebellious? Obedient. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. We're not to live as disobedient children, is what we're saying. What the word's saying, but as obedient children of God. Don't be the children of the world, but be children of God. When you read His word, you no longer become ignorant to what God wants of you. Amen? We had the granddaughters down for a couple of days at the end of the week, and you know, they do things differently in their house to our house. Come to our house, it's Nana's rules. Sometimes it's Grandpa's rules. But you can't expect them to know what to do if somebody doesn't tell them what to do. They go to a friend's house, or they go to their cousin's house, or they go back to their house, and things are different to the way they are in our house. So it is with the things of God. You want to know how God thinks? Read His thoughts. Hello? These are His thoughts, not man's thoughts. Holy Spirit inspired Word of God. God set you free from sin. Bottom line. You took His offer. Yeah? Anyone refused? We'll talk about it later. I refused for a while. I accepted, then I stepped back. I accepted, then I walked my own walk. But when I finally came to that place of true acceptance and started to follow Him, I started to follow Him. It's a process. It's a choice. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Wow, that clock goes quick. Therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, Paul writes, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent. Work out. Now listen to what the Amplified says. Cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, that is self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Wow, listen to that one again. Timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Now, there's a definition. Wow, if the church got that one, not just this church, the church, God's church, offend God and discredit the name of Jesus, I'd never do that. Maybe. very attentive this morning. I appreciate it. Verse 13, not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire. Oh, I like that amplified Bible. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Not only does he fill you with his spirit, he gives you energy and he gives you desire. That's the church I joined.
What are you on this morning, Pastor Lou? Are you drinking Red Bull again? No, I'm drinking in the Holy Spirit.
Holiness is a choice. We choose, not the person next to you. You yourself choose what you're going to do in that situation. Notice it's a combined work, you and God working together. God working where? In us. For us to accomplish his will for his good pleasure. Woo! That's my kids, he said. That's my kids. And the Bible says, and we work out our salvation with what? Fear and trembling. If we cooperate with God through the daily choices we make, he goes, there's my kids again. Aren't they great? Angels, check out those guys. Romans 6, verses 1 to 2. What should we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Romans 6, 1 to 2. Did you get it? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Hello? Shall I never tidy up my bedroom again so I still get pocket money? Shall I keep piling up the dirty dishes for Pastor Robin to wash so that she can keep washing them and cook me good meals? Doesn't work like that, does it, Josh? We died to sin. I think if we get that basic revelation today and nothing else, you and I are dead to sin. It doesn't mean sin's dead, we're dead to it. Sin abounds, but grace abounds all the more when you're in Christ. Amen? God gives you the ability, he gives you the strength, he gives you the insight to say no to sin. Step into holiness when you do that. Amen? Paul's encouraging us here not to make the wrong choice. We've been made alive to Christ because we died to sin. Jesus never left us hanging. He didn't say, if you can give up that way of life, we'll review it in 12 months' time. Did he? He said, you are no longer a sinner. You're saved by grace through faith in me. You step out of darkness. There's only one other option. No shades of grey. You'd stepped into his marvellous light. Wow, this is so elementary. And we continue living for the devil, even though we call ourselves Christians. Paul says, live for God. Live for God because he sent his son to die for you. And here's the good news. God's there to help us with every choice we make. What shall I do? What shall I do? What shall I do? Heads, I do it for Jesus. Tails, I make my own choice. Oh, it's tails, yes! Come on, heads, actually. It sounds dumb. But some of the things I see, some of the things I hear, I go, really? Call yourselves Christians? I'm not here to bag the church. I'm not here to point fingers. But I'm aware of what God's saying to us as a church. Amen?
All right, how are we doing?
Holiness is control over sin. Did you know you had control over sin? You don't only have a choice, you have control. Romans 6, verse 18. You have been set free from sin. Who has? I have been set free from sin. Say it with me. I have been set free from sin. Do you believe it? Good news. Second part of the scripture says, and have become slaves to righteousness. I love the picture Paul writes here. No longer slaves to sin. I don't know what imagery you get in your head when I use the word slave. I think it's someone in chains. They've got their little loincloth on. They're dirty. They've got cuts. They've got bruises. They're skinny. You know, there's no strength left. There's a slave master over them with the whip, chains, shackles. Just hard labor. That's the image I get. I'm not talking about a servant. I'm talking about a slave. We were slaves to sin. Slaves never live for themselves. Slaves live to please their master, and they get punished if they don't. You were a slave to the devil. That's the reality. That's what Paul's saying. The father of lies was your slave master. And you bowed and swept even though you didn't want to. Disobey the master, suffer the master's discipline. Master will never ignore disobedience but punish. Rebuke, correct. But the thing I love about God, in his love, when we're slaves to righteousness, we do it to please the master because we know the master loves us and loves on us. You see, sinners don't have a problem with sin because they're doing what pleases the master. They're ignorant. You and I were ignorant of our sin. It's only a little lie. It's only a pencil. The boss won't miss one pencil. Oh, I'll tell the kids the truth when I get a bit older. Sin is sin, and we were serving a master who was just sucking us in. Amen? But as slaves to righteousness, we know when we've disobeyed God, because the Holy Spirit is right here with us to get us back on the right track. Lovingly, caringly, we need a little flip. That's all it is. Just a wake up call. Some of the most miserable people I know call themselves Christians. Why is that? Because they're living a double life. They're living a life of compromise between sin and righteousness. Torn. Not like this guy. Set free. Amen? Colossians 1, 22 and 23. And I'm going to finish on this note. We've still got a couple of points to go for next week. Colossians chapter 1, 22 and 23. It says, yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his Father's presence. And this he will do provided that you continue to stay with and in faith in Christ, well grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope which rests on as in inspired by glad tidings, the gospel, which you heard and which has been preached as being designed for and offered without restrictions to to every person under heaven, and of which the gospel I, Paul, became a minister. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. If you continue in your faith, journey, established and free from accusation. It's an if word. If we continue in our faith. We don't have to fail. We don't have to let God down. We don't have to feel let down if we live a holy life. Last scripture, and then we're going to close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 8. And it says, if God, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that is this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we've already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. God did not call us to be impure. Selah, pause, meditate, think upon this. But to live a holy life. Friends, if you think today that it's impossible to live a holy life, then you've really missed the whole point. You alone and by yourself are doomed to failure. Sorry to say that. But Jesus never left us to live our lives alone and doing in our own strength. You and I have the power of the Holy Spirit of God living within us to empower us to do what? Overcome sin. To live a holy life. So therefore, holiness is control over sin. And I'm going to continue next.